God bless you and happy Sabbath to you. This is Father's Day weekend. Just in case you might have forgotten, do remember your dad. Remember him in prayer. Remember to say, I thank you and appreciate you. When you think of masculinity, what do you think of? What comes to your mind when you think of masculinity? A lot of people, when they think of masculinity, they think, masculinity, that means tough, firm. It means strong. And even in the dictionary, you look it up, masculine in the dictionary, virile, robust. But let me ask you, is God masculine? It is biblical for us to identify God as masculine. In fact, Jesus identified his God, the Father, as masculine. He said those familiar words in the prayer, Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 9. This is how you should pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Father. In Gethsemane, Jesus poured out his heart to his God. What did he say there? My Father, if it be possible, may this cup be taken from me. And we could read many, many scriptures showing continually that he identified God as his Father. And so it's biblical to speak of God as masculine. But let me ask you, these words that many people define as masculine, would we use those same words to define our loving Father? Tough, aggressive, firm. What is God like? I want to take a moment with you. And we're just going to kind of take an overview of the scriptures. You know, when you study something, there's a good idea to take an overview of what the scriptures say about that particular subject. Today, the subject we're looking at is what is our awesome, loving Father like, so that we may exemplify him in his life, that we may behold him and be changed in our lives, and especially as fathers. And so I ask fathers to read some scriptures, and I'd like very much for these fathers just to stand, so that way the person who has the mic can bring the mic right to you. So I'm going to have Jamie Berlew stand, Larry Bangs stand, and also John Crisp, and then Bob Logan Sr., if all of you would stand. And that way, when the time comes, I'd like to ask, first of all, Larry, if you would read 1 John chapter 4:8, what does it tell us about God? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8.
Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
God is love. The simple, profound definition of our God. And then Jamie, I've asked him to read Psalms 103, verse 13. What is our God like? Jamie Berlew is just right here in the very back of the pews. There.
As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
And so as Jamie just read here, our God is more than just the attribute of love. Our God practices what he preaches. And you know what compassion really is? Compassion is love put into action. Our God shows it. He reveals it. John Crisp, could you read Luke, the first chapter, verses 77 and 78?
To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us.
Thank you, John. The father of John the Baptist, his name was Zacharias, and Zacharias sought to describe the work and the mission of his son, John the Baptist. And as you just heard John describe here from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, 77 and 78, John the Baptist would to give knowledge of salvation to his people by forgiveness of their sins. And the part that just stood out to me, it said something about our God, our loving Father, is it says, through the tender mercy of our God, through the tender mercy of God. Usually when we think of the word tender, we think of a mother. We think of femininity, a mother. But we go to the word of God, tender mercy of God, because according to the Bible, the masculine thing to do is to show tender mercy. It's a masculine term. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I'm going to have Bob read that in just a moment here. The Apostle Paul reveals to us the characteristics, God's characteristics that he wants to come forth from us as Christian believers. Bob, you read that, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. I think most of us would agree that too often the very things that the Apostle Paul calls us to lay aside, not to be involved in, not to speak from our lives, is often modeled before us in our everyday life and defined as masculine, tough, firm, aggressive. But here the Apostle Paul, he is calling us to be compassionate and forgiving just as God the Father has been towards us. Loving brothers and sisters here today, I trust and pray that as you behold your loving Father, that you too will show compassion and forgiveness and love for one another. Indeed, it is needed in every church body. One more text, and I want you to turn there with me to Exodus, the 34th chapter. Exodus chapter 34. And I want to give you the context of this particular passage of Exodus chapter 34. Prior to Exodus 34, we have the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments. And we think of the giving of the law, we think of thunder and lightning that are on Mount Sinai. And indeed, our God is awesome. Our God is powerful and mighty. But we must also remember that after first giving the Ten Commandments, after Israel sinned and they disobeyed, God called Moses to come up to the mount again. And Moses asked him there in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, he says, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory." And there, the very next chapter, Exodus chapter 34 and verses 6 and 7, he writes these words, and they're for us here today. Follow with me. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin. We'll stop there for a moment. These are the things that the Bible reveals are the characteristic of our God. This is how the Bible identifies masculinity. This is what a masculine person should be. And I find it very interesting in this passage here that when God gave these precious words to Moses there on Mount Sinai, he went on to state a very important principle that when fathers give their children the wrong picture of God, the results are long-lasting. Notice it here in verse 7. I'm going to read the whole of verse 7 again. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin, and by no means clearing the guilty. Now listen to this. Visiting the iniquity of the who? Fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Bobby grew up in a Chicago policeman's home. And his father, unfortunately, even though he was a policeman, he physically and emotionally abused his son. And Bobby's dad knew that his son was 16. He knew that he had practiced and prepared to get his driver's license. But he paid the driver's license examiner to flunk his son Bobby because he did not want him to think that he was too big for his britches. And Bobby grew up to follow his dad's footsteps in law enforcement. He became an FBI agent. And we know Bobby today as Robert Hansen. I don't know if that name sounds familiar to some of you. Robert Hansen was caught selling very sensitive national secrets to the Soviet and Russian governments. And he pled guilty. And he was sentenced to prison for the rest of his life. And there at his sentencing, he apologized publicly. He acknowledged that he had done wrong. He was sorry for what he had done, but the damage had already been done. And perhaps the greatest compromise of intelligence in the history of the United States and has speculated that the secrets that he sold have aided Osama bin Laden in his murderous work. Now, I am not putting all the blame on Robert Hansen's father. Robert Hansen had a choice. He had a choice, right? But just to illustrate how far-reaching are the results when we as fathers treat our children in ways that do not model the character of our God. But we're here today to honor our dads. Our dads that are here today, our dads that are not here today. We're here to honor them. But we will admit that none of our fathers were perfect. Neither was my father perfect. And none of us as fathers, and I stand before you as a dad, I was not a perfect dad either. But many of us, we learned much about our Heavenly Father from our earthly fathers. And I certainly did. And I'll share with you a little about my earthly dad in a few moments. But one of the important things that we do as dads is that we should model our God before our children. And one of the important things that we can learn from our fathers is what our Heavenly Father is like. Because it's from our dads that we get our definition of what it means to be masculine. What it means to be masculine. I learned from my dad many things. And when I think of father, I think faithful, pure, hardworking, honest, tender, kind, caring, soft-spoken, patient, pleasant, forgiving. I wish you would have had the opportunity to meet my dad. I can relate to many of you as you describe your dads today. My dad was born in a small town by the name of Charter Oak, Iowa. I had the opportunity to stop at Charter Oak, Iowa and visit some of the relatives. I was traveling for the very first time to Michigan to attend seminary. He was not a highly educated man, but my dad had some wisdom that I know he received from his dad and his dad from the Lord. He graduated from high school, and in his later years, it was something to see my dad go to night school, to the public college. He would go to night school, and he learned to be a better person, and I really appreciated that about my dad. And when I think of my father, I think of the word faithful. He was faithful to our mother, his wife. He was faithful to us as the family, children. Often, I never forgot, almost every day before he left to work and he'd leave early in the morning, we would see on the kitchen table an 8x11.5 sheet of paper. He would write a little note to Mom. Love note. We got to read it. And he would sign it Floyd and X's and O's. And you know what that means, hugs and kisses. And we would see Dad kiss Mom. When Dad came home, he would kiss Mom, and we saw that again and again. And believe it or not, even when Dad went to the store, he kissed Mom before he went to the store. And more things are caught than are taught. Dad was a faithful worker. He worked for the Union Oil Company, Rodeo, California. He was a faithful worker at church. I remember when, as a young boy, he was the church elder, the Sabbath school teacher. He was the head of the social committee for many years. He could always be depended on. He was faithful to his church. Another word that comes to my mind that describes my dad is tender. Never do I remember my dad saying a harsh word to my mother. Dad was tender in his nature. He'd be reading a story, or he'd hear a good story or something in a sermon, or he'd see us maybe in front standing for Jesus or serving the Lord, and tears would come from his eyes. Kind is another word that comes to mind about my dad. Dad was kind to animals. He was kind to people who were unkind to him. I noticed he was especially kind to the elderly. Dad was honest. How many times Dad would get in the car, we're ready to go after we went to the grocery store, and he'd look at the receipt and the money he got back, and he says, I'll be right back. And you know what he did? He went back and he gave the cashier the money, because the cashier gave him more money than he was supposed to. Dad was honest. I remember that. Patient is another word for my dad. that he got it from his heavenly Father and he revealed it in his life. As for me as a young boy, homework was so difficult. I had a challenging time with homework, and especially math, but I'm sure a few people out there can relate. But Dad was so patient with me. He was so patient. Dad, as the head elder and the head of the social committee, there were people that he was responsible for, and they didn't always come through. My dad was patient to those people. And my mom was nervous. She was a nervous kind of lady. She'd be nervous about this or that, and Dad was always patient. He was always patient. And I must say, I have learned a lot about my heavenly Father from my earthly father, my dad. And I pray some of that is rubbed off on me. And I know that as I stand here today before you, that as you have shared, we could take the rest of the sermon period plus, and you could share memories of your dad, your father. I have placed in your bulletin today a little note where you can write a short note of appreciation to your dad. And there are extra copies out in the narthex as you go. Every one of us has a dad. Every one of us has a dad. For some of us, that dad of ours was close to us. For others of us, our dad was not that close. For others of us, our dad is still living. For others of us, our dad has passed away. But you can write a little note to your dad, what you would actually say to him. And I trust that if the Lord would bring that back to your memory, when you're up there in heaven, you can express those words personally to your dad there in heaven. And yet we have dads whose dads are still alive. We have children here whose dads are still alive. And I would encourage you to write a little note of appreciation to your dad. But as I stand here before you, I know there are people here who have a father who you did not have much of a relationship with. And as you've listened to me share from my heart, as you've listened to others as they share about their dad, you would say maybe in your mind, I can't say that about my dad. I want to encourage you to write a note to your dad. And this time, rather than write the same way as one who had a dad that you appreciated, I would suggest that you write something like this. Dear Dad, I wish I had. Or, Dear Dad, I miss this in our relationship. And you may not send that letter to him, but you know something? When we share from our hearts what we desire, that helps in the healing process. And remember this, no matter how deficient our relationship may be or was with our dad, there's something we can remember that was good about our dad. Amen? There's something we can remember. So whatever your situation is, write a note to your dad. Sometime today, sometime this weekend, either say, thank you, Dad, or I wish I had on that note. And I would like to say one more thing to those who had a less than perfect earthly father. Remember this, you have a perfect heavenly Father. Amen? You have a perfect heavenly Father. And sometimes the most powerful thing that you and I can do is we can consider our earthly Father in contrast to our awesome heavenly Father. Behold him. Behold him, your heavenly Father. And that reminds me of an article that was written by a pastor here in the state of Oregon. His name is Pastor Ted Robertson. And I'd like to just take a moment and read that article, the power of the story that he wrote. I want to share it with you today in our message. He entitled it, The Dad I Never Had. I remember my first real Father's Day. It was January, not June, and I stood looking at my newborn child, a girl, all wrapped up in a pink blanket. Then it hit me like a freight train. I was a dad. But what struck me with even more incredible force was the fact that although I had no clue of what it meant to be a godly dad, this little girl was counting on me. Being an illegitimate child with seven stepdads and having been raised in an alcoholic home didn't exactly give me the best training. The picture is clear in my mind as if it happened yesterday. I stood and I cried out, Lord, teach me how to be a dad. He heard the cry of my heart, and he will hear yours as well. I have talked with thousands of men in the last couple of years as I have spoken at men's conferences, and this question frequently comes to me. How can I be a great dad with my family background? My son, our second child and I were buds. And when he was about 5 years old, we went to the hardware store to do some guy stuff. As I drove along, I glanced over and I noticed that he was mimicking my every move, pretending to drive the car just like his dad. And I totally lost it. Tears, the whole thing. I actually had to pull over to the side of the road. Through my tears, I told him how much I loved him and how great it was to finally have a father-son relationship I never had growing up. I poured out my soul to him. And all the while, he acted like the typical five-year-old, looking out the window, chewing his gum, seemingly unconcerned. When I finally regained my composure, he turned to me and he asked, "Well then, how do you know how to raise me?" It's a good question. I was stunned, and then I caught what my Heavenly Father was saying to me. I turned to Brian and I said, "Son, I just watch carefully how my Heavenly Father is raising me. And I try to do the same with you." Amen. Amen. The answer seemed to satisfy him, and he returned to looking out the window. But it turned on the lights for me. By the grace of God, my life today doesn't have to be determined by my past. The curse can stop with my generation, and the blessings of God can flow richly to my son and my daughter. Not only can I be the kind of father that I never had, but I can also enjoy being a kid with my kids. Growing up in an alcoholic home keeps you so busy trying to survive that you never get to be a kid. Several years after that conversation with my son, Brian, he was hit in the head with a baseball bat during a church picnic. I picked him up in my arms and jumped into a car that was waiting to take us to the hospital. There was blood everywhere. Brian was trying not to cry, but I could see how much it hurt. And as I held him close, I told him that only weak men can't cry. They don't cry because they are afraid of their emotions. "Son," I said, "now is the time to cry and to pray," tears streaming down my face. We wept and we prayed together. The love I felt for my son in his suffering helped me appreciate God's sacrifice in sending his son to suffer and die on the cross for me. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. For years, I had struggled to grasp the love of God the Father, but I never could quite grasp the full picture. I kept putting the face of my stepfathers on the picture of God I had in my mind. But now I understood. Once again, my son had helped me to see the truth. Maybe you feel like I once did. "I don't have a clue how to be a dad," you may say. But guess what? Between your Heavenly Father and your kids, they will teach you what you need to know. Just keep a close eye on your Father above and open heart to your kids around you. Great, great message, wasn't it? Great message. I want to challenge us today to grasp the responsibility that God the Father has placed upon us as dads. To be the role model that God is wanting you to be and to become. It is not a mission impossible. It is a mission possible by the grace of God. He can enable you to be that dad that you want to be and your children need you to be. Studies have shown that social problems arise in our society today because dads have not taken their God-given responsibility as role models to their children seriously. By God's help, He can make that change. In the Old Testament, God made a statement that He wants for us to take part in our homes. And I'm going to ask Mark Hersher to read that statement. It's found in Malachi, the 4th chapter, verses 5 and 6. Listen as he reads it.
"Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse."
And that is what God wants to do in your life and my life. Even in the smallest way, dads, here today, God has a plan for you. He can make you the kind of dad that God has made you and created you to be. Connecting our children's hearts to our loving Father, may that be our great ambition. I want to pray for the families here today. I want to pray for the fathers here today. Would you bow your heads with me as we come close to the Lord and as we close this message today? Oh, loving Father in heaven, you have certainly given to fathers and to all of us a very tall order to be reflectors of you. But today, we know that such a mission is possible through your amazing grace. We thank you for our earthly fathers, Lord. You have used them to lead us through life and to prepare for our future life with you. Help us, even today, to show appreciation to them. And now, may the Holy Spirit continue to show us what God is like through our dads, is our prayer in Jesus' holy name.